Be my day, honey, be my night. If I drift away, honey, be my light. Shine on, let your light shine on, and I will sail on home. Shine on, let your light shine on, and I will sail on home. Sing a la la la,
we'll be right back. me, God will sustain me. In the time of trouble, God will lift me up. So rejoice, your steps are ordered of God. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. They are ordered of God. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. Trouble, God will uphold me, God will preserve me, God will sustain me. In the time of trouble, God will lift me up. So rejoice, your steps are ordered of God. Oh, rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They
My name is Samuel Lee. I am the senior pastor of JCF Church after Holy Spirit. He is the senior pastor. We have a church in Holland. We have 5 churches in Cyprus, 1 church in Lebanon, 1 church in Ghana, and 5 churches in Philippines. We have been preaching the gospel in 80 countries around the world. With the congregation as small or big, I don't know, as this, we have been reaching a lot of places for mission of God and preaching the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you are very welcome to this place. We have established a university that is an online university. We have 25 faculty members who are guiding and mentoring the students, many of them from Nigeria, for free of charge, tuition-free education for people who are coming and living in the developing world. Praise the Lord for that too, because we believe that education is the key to so many things. Yes. And we need education today. So we have a mission and we have a university. And through university, we give holistic, open-minded education to people so that from our pulpits, we don't preach hatred, but we preach love. Yes. So that our societies and our people can live at peace. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, today I'm going to start a series of messages that I'm going to preach for coming days and actually coming weeks. A couple of weeks ago, I started a sermon series called Inconvenient Truth. And that was the Sermon on the Mount, the only registered sermon of Jesus Christ. And I start preaching it from the beginning, and I finished it till the end. Today, as long as I'm on the pulpit, I will preach, I start a new sermon, and that has to do actually with what is, we are going to celebrate the Holy Weeks that are coming. So in connection to that, I am going to start a series of preaching that is called The Testament of Jesus. The Testament of Jesus. Because when Jesus Christ, before dying on the cross, he gave certain advices and certain words to his disciples, not only his disciples, but disciples to come, and give us some instructions before his dying on the cross. And today is the first part of my message series called The Testament of Jesus. And you know that testaments are always given by wise men, by elderly men who know that they are going to see the Lord, and before that they write a testament or they give an advice to their children. And how many of us here today are children of God? We are all children of God. And since we are all children of God, and since we are saved through Jesus Christ, we have to listen to the testament of Jesus. And what is his testament? Please open with me the book of John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. I'm going to preach teach today, so you can make also notes. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, from verse 31 until chapter 14, we are going to read. So don't close your Bibles. Have your Bibles with you. Bible is your best friend when it comes to books. Have your Bibles with you. Read often in your Bibles. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. Gospel of John, chapter 13, and I'm going to read it from verse 31. Are we blessed today? When he, that means Jesus, verse 31, when he was gone, no, when he, the other guys, were gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." In other words, he shows his relationship with God the Father and himself. Then verse 32, he says, "If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once." In other words, God the Father and Jesus Christ, the relationship that is between them, they are glorifying one another, is showing that. We go further. "My children," somebody say my children. How many children of God are here today? Oh. He says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer." Because the man knows he's going to die on the cross. "I will only be with you a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." So he is preparing his disciples that, "Guys, get ready, because I'm going to die on the cross." Then he said in verse 34, keep your Bibles open, because we are going to preach open Bible today. Verse 34 says, "A new command I give you." What did he say? "A new command I give you." Who gives you? Jesus. "A new command I give you. Love one another." "Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you only love one another." Simon Peter asked him, he said, "No, Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "I am where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow me later. Don't worry." Peter asked, "Lord, why can I not come and follow you now? I will lay down, I will die for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Will you really die for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Hey, this is not easy. This is not easy. Don't close your Bibles. I'm coming to explain to you the first parts. Jesus said, "I'm going to the Father. I'm going to die." Then he said, "I am giving you a new command," a command that we often preach in this church. He says, "Love one another as I have loved you." And that love is the sign of you being my disciples. So praying in tongues loudly while you don't know how to love people is not making you a disciple. I feel like preaching today. Being an extravagant, show-off Christian will not make you a disciple of Jesus. What makes you a disciple of Jesus is to follow his command. And his command is, as I have loved you, love one another. How did he love? Hey, how did Jesus love? Jesus is the incarnation of love. Jesus is the manifestation of love. Jesus is love himself. How did Jesus love that he wants us to love? Jesus never differentiates between people. Feel like preaching today. Jesus never differentiates between people. Jesus never said, because you are like this, I love you more, and you are like that, I love you more. Listen to me, God is never impressed by what you do. God is never impressed by anything. You know why? Because he is love already. You may think that because you pray louder or longer, he will love you more. No. You pray shorter, he still loves you. Sometimes we think that we have to please God by those things. No, my friend. God is not impressed by things like that. And God does not make differentiate between people. God is not a discriminator. God does not discriminate. God does not make differentiate between people. God does not say, okay, because you give more money, you sit in the front. And you give less money, sit in the back so no one can see you. That is not God. God treats people equally. God respects people equally. God gives attention to people equally. Whether somebody has low salary or high salary, in the eyes of God, he is the same. And we should treat people the same. Hallelujah. Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love? He did not differentiate. He didn't say, oh, he's a Jew and he's a Samaritan. He didn't say he's from this tribe and he's from that tribe. Are we listening? He didn't make differentiate that he pays more money, she pays less money. No, he loved people equally. Now, I don't mean that don't pay money, huh? We need money. Because if you don't give money, we cannot do anything. So, God does not need your money. God has all the money. You know who needs your money? Church needs your money, not God. God has the money, don't worry. But church needs money because church needs to pay rent and everything. Praise the Lord. He did not make differentiates between who give more, who give less, who looks nice, who doesn't look nice, who is dressed well, who is not dressed well. God does not differentiate. Sometimes God does not come to you. Jesus does not come to you well dressed and nice smell. That's a prophecy a prophet who sit here give to me one day. He said, behold, Samuel Lee, behold that I will not always come to you in fancy and beautiful and nice smelling dress. Sometimes I come to you totally unexpected, smelling. Not a nice dress. But you have the eyes to recognize it is me. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Hey, so you must love one another. How did he love? He cared for people. Jesus cared for people. Jesus was interested in people. And he's still interested in you today. He said, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. If you open the door, I will come inside of you and I will live with you forevermore. I am interested in you. I care for you. I care for your troubles. I care for your difficulties. I am one with you. That is what Jesus said. The question is, are we caring for one another? And I'm sure we do. How did Jesus love? He said, a new command I give you. A new one I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. How did he love? He had compassion for people. Somebody say compassion. Jesus had compassion. Jesus was not a heartless man. Jesus had compassion with people. He had compassion with nature. He had compassion with everything. When someone suffered, he suffered. When someone, he cried with those who cried. We need to have compassion today. Our world is compassionless today. So compassionless that even the killing of somebody, they may put it on the social media and people may watch how they are being killed. This is what is happening today. Our world has no compassion anymore. How about church? How about the body of Christ? We need to have compassion. The other day I was listening to a sermon of a pastor somewhere in America. He was saying that he has found the cure for AIDS. Wonderful. He said the cure for AIDS has been found. And the people, a small congregation, thank God not many people listened to him. They were a small congregation. They said, tell us how. As an American pastor. He said, you know, gather all the HIV infected people together in a valley. And all those people, lesbians and homos, also gathered them together. Kill them in one time, then we are finished. That is what he preached from the Bible. Kill them, massacre them. And we are wondering, people are looking at those things and think that that is Christianity. God have mercy. Jesus had compassion on people. That is how he loved. Jesus had patience with people. That is how he loved. Are we patient with one another? Are we patient with each other? And above all, Jesus sacrificed his life. Hey! Jesus sacrificed his life. And you know, love is about sacrifice and love is about co-suffering. Are you listening to me? I love this word, co-suffering. Love is about sacrifice and co-suffering. If I love you enough, even though I don't suffer, I will choose to co-suffer with you and cry with you until you and I will come out of that suffering together. That is love. That is love, my friend. Love sacrifices and love co-suffers. Christ co-suffers with you. You suffer because you lost somebody, he co-suffers with you. He cries with you. And we Christians have to sacrifice our lives for one another. We Christians, we have to co-suffer with one another. We have to choose our comfort zone. You understand me? Comfort zone. We are too much in our comfort zones. Relaxing in our comfort zones. We need to come out of our comfort zone. We need to come out and stand with someone who is suffering and say, I am not suffering, but I choose to co-suffer with you. I am not crying. I have no reason to cry, but I will co-cry with you. I will co-laugh with you. I will co-rejoice with you. I will co-celebrate with you. That is what Christianity is about. People of God, I'm having a lot of revelations today. So please wait. This is only my beginning, the introduction. I'm preparing you for something. He said again, a new command. What? Someone say a new command. A new command. I give you love one another. Look at this. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is second time he said. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. There is a revelation there. You are my disciples if you love one another. I believe in discipleship programs. I believe in all these programs that we have. It's wonderful we can have discipleship program, but discipleship programs are useless when we don't know how to love people. We don't know how to love one another. And he said, the sign of you being my disciple is to love one another. Now, listen to me, I'm coming to give you a revelation. What did Jesus Christ say before he go to heaven, ascend to heaven? He said, go ye and make disciples of all nations. What does that mean? If the meaning of discipleship means loving one another, it means that we as Christians have to go to the world and preach the good news of Jesus Christ and make also nations to love one another. We Christians are made to be peacemakers. We are not made to add fire on fire. So if he says go to the nations and preach the gospel, it is our duty to go to the nations, preach the gospel, so that the Palestinian and the Jew will sit at the table of brotherhood and worship the Lord. The oppressed and the oppressor will sit at one table and glorify the Lord. When he said, love one another, and that love is the sign of my discipleship, and then he said, go to the nations and make disciples of the nations, the first thing he said, make disciple. It means make them love one another the way you love one another, the way I have loved you. Let's love one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now listen. This is beautiful. This gives me goosebumps. He says, love one another. Now, he's talking about love. He's talking about this, love each other. Now, when Jesus said love one another, what is he talking about? Love now one another. Now. Love me now. Show compassion to me now. But look what Peter does. He jumped to future. He forget the now, he jumped to future. And look what he said. Peter asked, Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life to you. Listen to me, many people will come to you and say, I will lay down my life to you. Especially girls, boys, you know, hormones are blooming and blowing and everything and shaking in your body, and the boy will come and say, I will lay down my life to you. And you believe it, and before you know, they lay down my life has gone with another lay down my life. Can I tell you something as a man of God? Those people who have always said to me, I lay down my life to you, they are the first who ran. He said what? I will lay down my life to you. You know, being Middle Eastern people, we are also Middle East. We have a lot of metaphors. You know, I will lay down my life. He can easily say that. I will lay down. But in reality, when the problem comes, the first thing in running away is the man. Huh? He said, I will lay down my life to you. I will fall. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, will you really? Are you sure you're going to lay down your life for me now? You may do it later, I don't know, but now, are you really ready? And he said, even I tell you the truth, three times before crying, the bird is going to cry, you are going to disown me. Do you know what the message is this? The message in this is, he said, Peter, I don't want you to die for me, because I'm going to die for you. I don't want you to die for me. You know what I want you to do? I want you to live for me. Life, not death. Live for me. Peter, I will lay down my life for you. But what I want you to do, live life for me. And many Christians today, we look like living zombies. Don't get angry to me now. Because we don't live life. We live in a lot of religious nonsense, but we don't know how to live life. I never forget a widow woman came to me many years ago, is a widow with two children. She went to this conference, a crusade or something, a man of God came, and the man of God prophesied to her and said to her that, listen, you, whatever money you have in your account, you need to give it to me. If you give it to me, the anointing of God will be released unto you. And she was wondering, because she don't feel good about it. because she only has 1,000 euro in her account for the Christmas time. She came to me and said, Pastor, what am I going to do? She's not even a member in our church. What am I going to do? I said to the woman, you know, woman, live. Because Jesus wants you to live life. Jesus wants you to live life with your two kids who lost their father. Jesus wants you to take their hands and go to a nice godly movie and watch it and enjoy it together. God wants you to go in McDonald's. Now that's not a nice choice, but anyway, I'm giving you an example. Go to McDonald's, buy a happy burger, sit with your daughter or son, and use that money that you have saved, eat together. That is life. Life. You don't need to be a religious nut. This, I cannot do that. Makeup, I cannot do. Jewelry, I cannot make. I cannot, hey, chinete. Are you listening? Jesus said, Peter, I don't want you to die for me. I want you to live for me. Live for me. Now I'm coming with the revelation. That's why I'm so hot. Live for me to love. Hey. Live for me to love. I don't want you to die. I want you to live to love. Live to love. I want you to live to forgive. Because if you die, it's easy. You're already finished. You don't need to forgive. If you hate somebody and God said, love that person, when you die, it's already finished. You don't need to love or hate because you are gone. But Jesus said, I want you to live. Because when you live, you can love. When you live, you can forgive. When you live, you can sacrifice and coexist with someone who suffers with you. Oh! Live for me. Don't die for me. Live for me. Live for me. How do you live for me? How do you live for Jesus? How do you live? Who lived here for Jesus? How do you live for Jesus? John chapter 14. He continues. Continue. John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Hello, warrior. Hello, stress man. Hello, someone who cannot sleep in the night. I'm talking to myself, Samuel Lee. I'm talking to you too. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. You see, my friend, life is full of burdens, troubles, difficulties, my son. But he says, trust in me. Put your trust in me. That is life. That is live life for me. Don't live your life for this and that or that person or that guy who promised you something. No, live life for me. Trust in me. Put your faith in me. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Trust in God. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. Trust in God. You don't know what will happen tonight. Trust in God. Live for today. Seize the day. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Today. Trust in God. Whatever you do, whether you go through stress, whether you don't go through stress, the earth is still turning. Tomorrow will still come. Tonight will be night. Tomorrow will be day. Whatever you want to do, you worry, you stress yourself, nothing is going to be changed. But Jesus said, you want to live a life for me? Love one another. How do you love one another? By trusting me. Trust in me. Put your trust in me. What is life? He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Listen to me. First of all, he said, love one another. Somebody say, love one another. He said, love one another. Then he said, in order to love one another. I don't want you to die. I want you to live. Live for me. How do you live for me? By trusting in me. How do you trust in me? Now the answer comes. Verse 5. Look at verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. The man is telling where he's going. Thomas, the doubter, is still doubting. Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Then Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. In other words, how do you want to live life? How do you want to live life for Jesus? How do you want to love like Jesus? He said, I will show you the way. I am the way. I am the way of life. I am the way of life. How you to manage your family. I am the way of life. How you manage your company. I am the way of life. How you to manage your husband. I am the way of life. How you to mother your children. I am the way of life. How you to be a great father to your family. I am life itself. Even if you have lost it, you will gain it back. Oh my goodness. I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am life. So I am going to give that life to you, my friend. You don't need to worry, he said. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me, the Son. Of course, if you don't know the Son, you can never know the Father. Hallelujah. Are we listening? He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. What does it mean? Can I give you my translation? My translation is, I will help you. My translation is, I will help you. Is difficult to love? I will help you. Is difficult to trust? No problem. I will help you because I am the way to trust. I am the way to life. I am the way to forgive. I am the way to bless. I am the way for you to choose to go suffer with someone who suffers. I am the way to help you to stand for justice. I am the way to fight for righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Are we listening today? Are we listening today? Then Philip, there are a lot of revelations here.
Listen.
Philip said, Lord, still the man is doubting. Maybe some of you are also doubting right now. But don't worry, doubt is not a sign of bad thing. Human beings doubt. If some preacher comes to you, doubt is from the devil. Of course, doubt is from the devil. But every human being doubts, eh? So those people who are standing on the podium and shouting, don't doubt, doubt, this and that, they themselves doubt more than anybody else. How do I know? I know because I myself did too. So, questioning is not wrong. Yeah? In especially in religious groups, especially, you have the right to question. You have the right to ask God, God, I don't understand this. Help me. To question is not a sin. Question. You go further. He said, Lord, show us the Father. And that will be enough. Look at this man, Thomas. Thomas is two times challenging Jesus. Jesus did not even angry him. One time I challenged a preacher, he became so angry, he kicked me out of his office. I said, okay, that's a very nice sign of being a disciple of Jesus. You kicked me out because I'm just asking you a question. Okay, no problem. He said, Peter, no, Thomas, no problem. You ask me a question, no problem. I will answer you. He said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen God. In other words, I am the incarnation of God here on earth. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? I am in the Father and the Father is in me. In other words, my love with the Father is so united that you cannot distinguish me and the Father. And the day must come that we Christians must become so one with Jesus and so one with one another that when people look at Christians, they immediately see Jesus. He says, don't you believe me? I am the Father and the Father is in me. The word I say to you is not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his word. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on evidence of my miracles that I have done. Now, I'm coming to the biggest revelation of your life today. Now I'm exaggerating because I'm an evangelist. But now listen, listen. I tell you the truth, he said. Verse 12. I tell you what? The truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will even do greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it for you. I will do it for you. Now I'm coming for a revelation. Are you ready for a revelation?
Yes, sir.
My revelation starts with a question. The biggest religion in the world is Christianity today. But we as the body of Christ have not been able to do what Christ has done, not only that greater things than him we didn't do, but we cannot even do the miracles that he did also we cannot do. So when Jesus said you will do greater than things that you did, I did, you will do, not really we are doing. Here and there sometimes it happened, but not really. The question is why? I'm coming to answer the question. The question is why we are not able to do that. You know why? Because we have not yet fulfilled his new commandment. The new commandment is love one another as I have loved you. If you cannot do that, forget about miracles, forget about raising the dead, forget about, you cannot even love the living. How can you raise the dead? You listen to me carefully. Somebody asked me why the church, you know, I said, you know why the church cannot do it? When I say church, I don't mean this church. I mean the whole church, universal church. You know why we cannot do it? Because we have not yet fulfilled the first commandment. If we cannot fulfill the first commandment, love one another as I have loved you, I am sorry to say, any miracle that happens without love is not from God. It's a false miracle to deceive people. A genuine miracle comes out of love. I never forget that one day I was in a country doing a crusade and then the conference. I don't use the word crusade, sorry. Use a conference, and then there are a lot of people, and this man of God, my goodness, he don't want even to bow down to touch people. He kicked them with his feet. And I correct him. I said, my friend, why do you kick? They are people. They are not animals. They are people. He said, no, I don't want to bow. I don't want to dirty my hand. Well, that is not love. Even if miracle happens, later there is a problem. Are you listening to me? The greatest miracle in this world is liefde. Liefde, love. Greater love no one has than this, than he give and lays down his life for his friends. The greatest miracle is love, my friend. And you may say, Pastor Preacher, you always preach about love. Yes, until the day I die, I'll preach about love. If you don't like this message, I still love you. I still love you. Hello? Love. He says, why can we not do that? Because anything else is useless if we do not love each other. If we do not care for the living, we want to raise the dead. And when we raise the dead, We give, you know, glory to ourselves that you see God used me to do it. Hello. Hello. Don't let me open my mouth. There are some seminars. They give you seminars how to raise the dead. Yes, there are seminars that you can pay 150 euros something. I don't know, somewhere. I forgot to know where it is. But you can, you get a seminar point by point how to raise the dead. But I have not seen one myself. Because, you know, the dead to rise is wonderful. If God wants, the dead will rise. It's not what you want, what God wants. Life comes from God, and his life will take it. God is will take it away.
Yes.
But you know why? There are 7 billion people in this world that I have to love. Hey, that's a miracle.
Yes.
That's already a miracle. So why these things are not happening? Because we have already forgotten the first element of Christ, Christ's commandment: love one another. But look what he said. He said, if you trust me, I will do whatever you ask in my name. Now, another revelation. Pentecostal friend, charismatic friend, that I am also like you, this is not a magic verse. This doesn't mean that you can live your devilish life, you can live the life of full of gossip, you can live a life full of jealousy, you can live a life totally unholy, but then you use the name of Jesus for anything. No, my friend, you're actually breaking the commandment of God. Do not misuse the name of the Lord.
Amen.
When Jesus said, I will do all things you ask in my name, I'm coming to my last revelation, huh? Jesus said, I will do anything for you when you do it in my name. What will you do it in my name? Love in my name. If you love, I am ready to move mountains. You know, Jesus was a Middle Eastern man, so he was also very romantic. He said, if you love, I will move mountains. If you love, I will bring down the stars for you. If you love, anything you ask in my name, I will help you to the end. But only if you love. Love. Not that you pray in Jesus' name, I'm using in Jesus' name, that man's car must come to me in Jesus' name. That man's property must come to me in Jesus' name. Satan, I bind you. Satan, I'm bumping you. Satan, I put paper on your head. Satan, I fight you. No, my friend, Jesus is death. He will not heal you. That is witchcraft. That is witchcraft. Purely in the name of Christianity.
Yes.
Pure Christian witchcraft.
Yes.
Are you listening? Are you listening? He said, I will do all things if you love one another. I never forget this command I give to my 3 children. I said, listen, you are 3 children. You are now becoming adults. Papa will do everything for you if you love one another. I will travel the whole world for you. Only if you, brother and sister, love one another. Because nothing is greater than love and a father to see his children love each other. Are you listening to me? God is ready to do everything for you if you choose to love. He's ready. He said, I'm ready to do everything. My country, there is a song a man sings for his loved one. And he says, I will count the sands of the earth, and I will bring the moon and make it a painting in the house. I will carry the mountains on my shoulders if you only say yes to me. And that is what God is saying to you. If you only say yes to me. If you only say yes to Jesus, that I'm going to choose for love. No matter what, I will love. No matter what, I will co-sacrifice for love. The greater love has no one than this, to give his life for his friend. Let's stand up on our feet.
En dit was Pastor Samuel Lee met het gesproken woord in het Engels. Stefania Radio gaat afscheid van je nemen. Iedereen wordt bedankt voor het luisteren. Een goede nachtrust. En zo de Heer het leidt. Tot morgen.
Of Jesus. And I believe today is a very important message. Let us go to John chapter 15, the Gospel of John.